So, Guy's going to do a presentation on the budget. He's going to walk everybody through the details, and then we'll open the floor for questions.
We can go through. You're going to start right in front, right?
Actually, he's got bar charts and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, we can
watch. Actually, I will like to see it. Yeah. Thanks for the invite.
Okay, welcome everyone to the 2017-18 budget presentation for the village. Over the last few years, we've started to do a more descriptive piece of the budget hearing so that folks who haven't seen the budget or want to see a more aggregated version of it can see that. We'll start with the timeline of how we created this budget this year, and we'll come through a summary sheet of what the budget is and the implications for the tax levy. And then we'll go through each fund through the revenue and expenditures, and you can see trends and what we've budgeted over the last 5 years and how that compares to today. So in January of this year, Mayor Valenti put out the call for department budgets. Each of the folks who village board members who are oversee the different departments are expected to put together budget requests. We submit those at the end of the month to Bob, and he takes those as the budget officer, takes those and puts them into the grand spreadsheet in preparation for our workshops. We had two workshops this year, March 15th and March 29th. Where we went through line by line as a board and discussed each of the line items. The discussions were fruitful, I think. I think we had good conversations. And out of that, we developed what you're going to see today and what we're proposing as a tentative budget. Today is the budget hearing. Right now and then later today, we'll be voting on this budget. It's a little hard to see. Point out this is the budget summary sheet. This used to be what all we got for the budget. We have two funds. So we have a general fund and a water fund, coded A and F. Appropriations, which are the expenses that we've budgeted for, and from the A fund come to $697,543. We have revenues, non-property tax revenues. And we'll go through each of these, but it's $273,852. We estimate there will be $100,000 left from this year, and that leaves us with a tax levy, or amount to be raised by tax, of $323,691. The tax cap, according to the Office of the State Controllers, is $323,727, so we are underneath in this budget underneath the tax cap. We have, in order to figure out what the tax rate is, we look at the assessed property values for the village. This year, the assessed value of all tax properties is $63,819,488. That's a small decrease from the previous year, about $102,000. So some of the increase in tax rate is due to that, but it's a very small piece of it. Comparing last year's tax levy to this year's, last year's was $318,266. This year, we're proposing $323,691. That is a 1.38% increase, again, which is underneath the allotted amount determined by the state. In terms of a tax rate, last year it was $4.99 per $1,000 of assessed value, so you can figure out the assessed property assessment, figure out what the taxes will be. This year's $5.07, a difference of 8 cents. And like I said, some of that is because of this decrease in property values. It's about a penny of the difference. That's the A fund. The water fund is F. This is the cost of running the water department, basically. This appropriations is $260,670. We, given the the water bills that we sent out, as well as some anticipated people who pay late and thus owe us a little bit of interest on those, we estimate that revenue is being balanced. We're not allowed to have any fund balance here, so no money will be raised by taxes. So that's the cost of that. You see that no change since last year. Let's go through this a little bit more detail. Here we go. This is an interesting thing. So if you look at the way the sort of inflation works, what we are proposing, or what we would have had to spend, this is basically, it tells you the tax burden in today's dollars. So what the tax rate was in 2001, 2002, I'm not sure exactly what the dollars were, but when you do that, when you multiply that by inflation, that's equivalent to $452,000. So we've actually decreased the burden in today's dollars. If you look at last year's, if you compared last year's total tax levy to this year's, if we kept it exactly the same, inflation would have made this number $324,200 and whatever the tax cap is. That's basically what the state bases it on. So we're actually coming in underneath inflation. So doing the same, if not more, services for fewer dollars. So again, that's sort of the job of this board, is to try to do that all the time. Save money and do the same services. That's what we do. In terms of revenues for the general fund, you can see here, moving from left to right, we have the last 5 years of the figures for the village. And these are all of the pieces that make up the revenue side. The top one is our actual taxes, plus, again, those anticipated people who fail to pay their taxes and end up having to pay a penalty. So we sort of do an estimate based on past experiences. We have non-property taxes, which include the sales tax distribution from the county, as well as the cable and television franchise fee. That comes to, we anticipate about $80,000. Again, it's an estimate because you never know how well the county's going to do with sales tax. So that's depending on economic activity. Which is interesting because, you know, we often want to... Anyways, departmental revenue. That is revenues from fees for building inspections, building permits, fines, bail forfeitures. The refuse billing is included here. That total will come to $2,930, a little bit lower than we had last year. State funding and aid is the state aid to municipalities, which I think we just had got a note that that's been going down, and that's reflected here. And things like CHIPS are included here, and other grants that we get from the state. Miscellaneous is for pretty much everything else, and includes when we sell something like one of the old police vehicles, things like that. That goes into this category. So again, that you can see the revenues here, and the trend over time, we've had some increase in revenues, but given the word from the Office of State Controller, revenues don't look like they're great in the state overall, so aids typically are going to be going down. We anticipate less revenue as a result. In a bar chart, you can start to see, these are color again from left to right, the past 5 years, and the black one is this year, pretended budget. You can see how that's changed as a percent of the total revenues. Again, with state aid and going down, I can make it up with local aid, basically, property taxes and things like that. So you can see pretty much they're pretty flat, but really that's the big motion is down here, the state aid drop. terms of expenditures. I'll go through each one of these so you know sort of what is included in these categories. Same as before, left to right for the past 5 years. The rightmost one is the tentative budget that we're going to go out tonight. Legislative and executive, that includes the mayor and the village board's salaries. We have small contractual expense lines, our attorney, our NICOM association dues are included in this. Those expenses come at $45,500. Administration and finance, that includes the clerk, deputy clerk, treasurer, assessor, their associated equipment and contractual expense lines, as well as record management expenses. That's up a little bit from last year, the main increase there is for additional funding for extra hours for the deputy clerk to help out with grant writing. So we should be able to leverage that $4,000. Really good. Central and shared services at $97,600. Those are the expenses to keep, you know, basically this building in the Salt Shed maintained. Village insurance policy, phones, network, heating expenses, anything that's sort of shared across multiple departments is included in this. Public works. Highway department, that's for salaries, equipment, contractual expenses, road repair, snow removal, and those sorts of things. $229,735. Public safety, that includes the police department and animal control expenses, at $131,110. Planning and zoning, those are the expenses associated with the building department and code enforcement activities. As well as any expenses associated with the village planning and zoning boards. You see an increase there too. We've committed this year to additional funds for code enforcement. It's been a long-standing issue in the village with many residents, and we're going to hopefully do something about that. It's quite an increase there, percentage-wise. We have the judicial, $40,500. That includes the court, the justice court clerk and court officer salaries, as well as any equipment and contractual expenses with the NICOM. Other services, these things are, this includes the parks, youth and beautification committees, includes the new fund we started last year for economic opportunity, for grant writing and associated expenses, $11,800. And then we have the employee benefits part, which is the village's portion of the health and employee health insurance that we offer, Medicare and Medicaid costs that we have to pay for all employees, workman's comp, and contribution to the state retirement system. This represents a 70% split of the total expenses with the F fund, since some of those expenses, and you'll see them on the F side, so it's a 70-30 split. This is 70% of the total. And then the debt service, we don't have any right now, but this was if we had any loans or bonds that we had taken out on the A side, or the non-water side. So we don't have any of those right now. So in the past, we did. So the total is $697,543, which is lower, given the decrease in revenues. It just makes financial sense to decrease the anticipated expenditure as well. That, and you can now move on to the in bar chart. This is sort of the proportional weight of each of the different categories here. You can see administration of finance going up a little bit. Central and shared services up. Public works a little bit down. Public safety is pretty much flat across the board.
A little bit up from 5 years ago.
Planning and zoning increased a little bit with the extra money for code enforcement. Judicial, very slight rise. And employee benefits dropping as really this is one of the reasons why it's dropping is because we found, I think Bob, we looked into less expensive health insurance last year, and we were able to sort of move that down to less expensive.
That's good. Okay, so what can we expect to get out of this? So
this year, we'll be exploring, continuing to explore shared service agreements with the towns of Nassau and Scoonic, a whole variety of things. I think Bill met with at least Dave Fleming last year. I'm not sure if he met with Supervisor Downs to talk about this initiative. So we'll be continuing to do that. We're going to continue to implement our updated Village Master Plan, which we adopted in September. That entails, in the immediate future, zoning law review, which is currently underway. We'll be looking at economic development projects, as well as energy efficiency projects. We have committees on all of those things, and we're working hard to try to make some progress on those. We have a road repair project this year. We have some CHIPS funds that we will be spending. That's yet to be determined, but it will happen. We have increased, as I said, deputy clerk hours to assist in grant writing efforts. We're going to start the plan to turn over property assessing to the towns. That won't happen this year, but it will happen next year. So this year will
be one more year.
One more year. Yeah.
One more year of an assessing grant.
This year.
For the 2019 budget.
Oh, okay. So we'll start planning.
Everything will be in place by June of next year, but we won't be using the towns, because we'll be using the budget they adopt in June.
We have increased funds to bolster code enforcement efforts, as I said, and we'll be continuing to contribute to capital fund replacement and project funds. So, putting money aside when there's an opportunity to, in order to pay for larger projects and capital equipment expenses, so that we don't have to pay for those all at once. So now we have the water fund. The revenue is pretty simple. We send out the bill and we get money back, or we don't, and then we charge interest. So it's at $260,000. You'll notice that this is an increase over the. You see there's a small increase, and basically that was the bond that we had to take out as a result of that terrible winter we had with all the water main breaks. In order to get that work done, we had to take out money in the form of a loan, and so we have to pay that back. And that's essentially the difference there. There's a need for that. That's what I was saying. In terms of expenditures, we have administration, operations, employee benefits, miscellaneous, and debt service. Kind of self-explanatory, but administration are the costs associated with administering the water department. Includes the clerk, any activities clerk, deputy clerk, treasurer, cost of printing and distributing water bills, as well as collecting payments. Operations is the cost of maintaining the pumps, the pump houses, tank, repairs and upgrades to the whole system. Including the pipes, valves, and so forth. And that includes not only the materials, but the personal service of our public works department. Employee benefits, that's the other side of the, that's the 30% of the total mentioned before. Miscellaneous is the only thing in that line, in that category, is a small contingency fund in case things go awry. It's very small. And then the last is a debt service, which, again, you can see this portion is for the water tank. The increase is the difference between is the new bond that we took out, which includes not only the water tank, so all of these, plus the additional funds we needed to repair the system that in the crazy winter. In terms of expenditures over time, you see operations down and debt service up. That's really the patterns here. So, again, this is a self-fulfilling fund, so you'll see that sort of things, those sorts of things happen. This year, in the water fund initiatives, we'll be having, hopefully we'll actually do this, map and identify non-functioning valves throughout the water system for replacement. The funding that we're going to use for that, the reason why it hasn't been done yet is because it's been promised to us by Senator Marchione, and the mayor's been working diligently on trying to get a commitment to that. We have
valves ready to put in place. We just don't have the funds to do it. We'll wait for that. We are going to continue to replenish the depleted reserve funds. We spent on the order of probably $250,000 that one winter in emergency repairs. And so we'll be continuing to try to put those, build those reserve funds back up. You know, previous boards allowed us, they did their job of putting money into those funds, and it was available to us. So we're going to do that for the boards that come after us. We're going to continue to refine a formal water maintenance, maintenance and upgrade plan. We have a water source protection plan project that's happening right now. We'll be completing that this year with the help of the Rural Water Association. And we're going to, again, contribute to the capital replacement and project capital funds. And that's all. Thank you for your attention. And I will take comments.
All right. Thank you, Guy, for doing the presentation. Good job, as always. First up, Lori Clark.
I want to commend the board for staying within the tax cap. And I just had a few questions. Some were answered during the presentation. Thank you for that. I did notice, I was wondering if the board had a rationale what they used to provide salary increases. They seem to range from 70% to 0% across the board, so I was just wondering if that's based on merit or performance. The other thing that I noticed is now you have records management, personal service, and you haven't had that since 2013-14, and I'm just wondering who's that slotted for and the duties that will be carried out. It used to be under contractual. And then the biggest thing that, if all things remain constant, I noticed that there is a 48% increase for the code enforcement officer. So if it remains constant, that says that Mr. Hitchcock is getting a 48% increase, unless you're telling me today that he will no longer be the code enforcement officer.
Well, where do you want to start?
Well, I got one more.
Okay.
The last one is,
throw them all in.
Sure. So the street maintenance personnel received 1.5%, while snow removal received 0.09%. If I'm not mistaken, they're the same employees, they do the same job. I'm just wondering, was there a rationale to say, well, you only do 9% for snow removal for an increase?
Okay, so you know, start with the snow removal end of it. It's the last, first one I remember. So basically, with the wages, I gave all of the employees that are paid employees, not elected employees, but paid employees, a 2% raise. So that was just flat across the board, and I spread it out amongst the various funds that they were paid out of. So snow, and you know, where it says snow removal, that's really kind of, we use that for like overtime. So, you know, the highway guys get paid out of the, you know, the highway fund, you know, proportionately with the water fund for their straight 40 hours a week. But if they have to come in on a weekend or overnight, then the additional funds are taken from the snow removal if they're in fact plowing snow. Okay, so, you know, so that's why that just looks a little bit funky there. As far as code enforcement, we had there was a lot of discussion about code enforcement. You know, I've been living here in the village for a long time. I've had a lot of years on the board, time and again. Code enforcement, we don't have any problem getting the building inspector. We have lots of problems getting code enforcement. So, we are thinking of possibly, we're going to talk to Mr. Hitchcock, we'll probably keep him on as building inspector, but hire a different person that will strictly do code enforcement. So we don't have to hear, well, you know, I'm doing all my hours on code enforcement and not, I don't have time to do the other, or I don't want to be the bad guy or whatever. So the person that's going to do that, that's specifically going to be their job. So they will know that right up front, and we feel that we'd have a better handle on everyone that or on whoever this person is, because we would, you know, that's their job. And we'll be right up front with them in the beginning. We want you to, you know, when you see things that are, you know, being done that shouldn't be done or things that need to be corrected, then, you know, you, that's your job. You need to make sure that the residents get notified, you know, and not to be a, you know, come down on everybody, but, you know, talk to people, make sure they're aware of what the laws are. And again, just try to get people to comply. You know, compliance is what we're striving for. We're not trying to punish anyone, but we do want compliance. We have some serious concerns, a lot of the residents do, about folks that go ahead and do things without asking, you know, figuring it's easier to ask forgiveness than it is permission. And we have, you know, we have a lot of issues because of that. We have, you know, multifamily units that shouldn't be where they are. And, you know, it's just, you know, a nightmare. So anyway, so that was that. So, I don't know, Dave, you want to add anything on that?
Yeah, you know, and I think with that, you know, Kevin's probably going to have to take a salary decrease, you know, to split. So when we talk to him, we'll figure it out. And if he doesn't want to stay on board, you know, maybe we'll find the one person who can do both and be more present. You know, and I don't know if you want to go into executive session today and talk about this to really.
No, this is just for the budget today. I mean, okay. We can't do anything.
We're
going
to have to figure
anyway.
It out that we are, you know what I mean? And we can't do it without a quorum either. So it's either going to have to be you and I talking, you know, if you understand, or, you know, what we got to do it at a meeting. So, but it is definitely a concern of mine, and I'm looking forward to resolving it so we can, you know, take care of the issues that people have been bringing up.
Okay, so what other things did you have? I forget already.
I just asked about the records management and what.
Well, records management is just it's money we put in to just to maintain our management. I mean, you know, last year I think we went through and got rid of a ton of stuff that was outdated. And
55 boxes.
You know, so we just want to maintain and keep up with that.
But didn't that fall under the deputy clerk's salary? I mean, I'm just trying to understand how it's a personal service. Because I didn't see it charged here. Maybe I'm reading this wrong.
Well, we put some funding in there so that we would have it available for that purpose.
Okay. So then the hours for the deputy clerk, since we've increased the salary, will be tracked for, like, grant writing. She'll track
yes,
those
they'll
hours.
Have to be charged to the different accounts.
Okay.
Okay. Anyone else have any? I have no one else on my list, so the floor is open. All right, well, we'll close the public hearing then. Entertain a motion. Close the public hearing by Randy.
Second.
Second by Guy. Any questions on that? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Public hearing is closed.